All right, here we are with Sam Seabrum, Kieran, your host for the Monday afternoon show. We got Bet Abroad here today. We are going to talk about renewable energy, local, awesome stuff happening. Sam, thank you so much for actually organizing this. I am just really glad to have some other guests on my Monday afternoon show.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. And we're so happy and lucky to have Betta able to come up here today. This is Betta Broad from Citizens for Local Power and Catskill Mountain Keeper. Welcome, Betta.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been working on. We were just talking about one thing. We've got several topics to try to cover. One thing you were just mentioning is Solarize. Can you tell our audience more about that?
Sure. Solarize is a campaign to promote going solar in your community. It makes it more affordable and cheaper for everybody by launching these kind of local, person-to-person, buzz-creating campaigns where there'll be a series of workshops in your community, and you can learn about how easy and affordable it is to go solar. And the more people who sign up during the Solarize campaign, the cheaper it will be for everyone. And so we're promoting communities to start a Solarize campaign. I'm happy to speak with you if you're interested, say in Hudson, if they wanted to do a Solarize Hudson campaign. And the idea is to just really create an awareness in the community that everybody can go solar, especially right now. This is really the year to do it, because in 2016, a lot of the federal incentives are going away and the state incentives are also starting to go down. So there's really never been a better time to go solar.
How is New York State generally with the solar stuff? I know I have family in Massachusetts. I go to Boston a lot. And every time I go down the Mass Pike, I see these giant fields of solar panels. And I mean, we're talking about like hundreds of acres of solar panels in Massachusetts, and I don't know a lot about it, but I guess Mass has really taken on the issue of solar power and like subsidized it a lot. Like, how is New York in that? And
that's a great point, Kieran. Yeah, Massachusetts, actually, speaking of Solarize, the state invested a lot into promoting these Solarize campaigns, and they really took off. And now we see Governor Cuomo and New York State making similar kinds of investments. So we're hoping that we will be able to really grow the market here. There was just a report that came out last week that New York is fourth in the nation as far as growing solar jobs. So it is a big investment for New York, but right now we are a bit behind states like Massachusetts in the solar department, but hopefully not for long.
Right. Yeah. So that's also touches on another topic that we could get to today a little bit, which is the REV comment period, which is, I think, hopefully an opportunity for people to push the governor and the PSC even further for renewables and sustainable energy. Do you want
Absolutely.
To talk about REV a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, so we're in this really exciting moment right now where the state, actually the PSC, the Public Service Commission, is undergoing a process or proceeding, reforming the energy vision, or REV for short. And basically, we're going from a centralized energy system where you have big power plants providing one-way generation and distribution to a decentralized or distributed energy system where, in the future, as opposed to just having these big power plants, we're going to have solar panels on town halls and schools and hopefully offshore wind and small hydro, biomass. I mean, there's so many different kinds of cutting-edge renewable energy technologies that are being implemented, and really the REV is an opportunity to create this distributed energy system and also to make our system more resilient. There's a lot of problems with the current system. It's actually one of the oldest electrical grids in the world, and so we're trying to transform a rather antiquated system and implement these 21st century technologies that ultimately will end up stabilizing prices for everyone. That's a big part of the idea for customers, as well as you know, lowering our greenhouse gas emissions. But as far as, you know, pressuring the PSC, you know, that is definitely something that the Energy Democracy Working Group has been doing and is hoping to, you know, continue to do, so that really the end result of the REV is that communities have a say in their own energy planning. And that's a big part of community choice aggregation, which is one of the policies being considered in the REV, and one that Citizens for Local Power is working on, developing a pilot project for doing community choice aggregation, which is something that, you know, happens in other states, including Massachusetts, and allows municipalities or a group of a consortium of municipalities or a whole county to basically make their energy sourcing, often also their generation decisions locally. So you would do like an evaluation of what in this particular area, what are the resources that we have? Is it small hydro? Can we do wind? You know, where should we really put some big solar arrays? Where makes the most sense? And doing that kind of data assessment of where the needs are, and then going about creating those projects that will not only localize our energy, but also create green energy jobs locally and keep our energy dollars in the community. So that's a very exciting new policy that the PSC is considering, and we're hoping that we'll be able to see a community choice aggregation pilot in Ulster County, but it's also possible that we could have CCA in other parts of the state very soon.
And hopefully eventually the whole state.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it really gives people the chance to create their own energy future by plotting out what's best for their community and generating local jobs and development that makes sense for the community.
I don't want to get too much off the topic, but an example here locally of what not to do, in my opinion, which is the total opposite of what you're striving for, what we're all striving for, is over where I live in Athens, we have the Athens Gen Power Plant, which is now actually owned by another corporation called MacGen. Athens Gen is a privately held company. I don't think a lot of people around here actually realize that it's not providing power for anywhere around here at all. It's built by a privately held company. It's now in its, I believe, third state of bankruptcy. Every day, it uses water from the Hudson River, which it then returns to the Hudson River heated. So it's heating up the river. Also, it's rated on the EPA's list of extreme greenhouse gas emissions.
And I'm sorry, what kind of plant is it?
It's a gas-fired plant. So, you know, a lot of people have been talking about over the last few years how gas is some sort of like transitional resource.
Right.
And it's really not true. The gas-fired plants are emitting a lot of greenhouse gas.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, methane in its entire life cycle is more dangerous than carbon dioxide as far as our atmosphere and climate change is concerned.
Exactly. And, you know, another thing of an example of why local power and giving these priorities over to local municipalities is so important is also, if you look on the Athens Gen website, it says plant operations are carried out by North American Energy Services from Issaquah, Washington.
Where does the energy go?
I don't know exactly where it goes. It might go to Maine. It could go to Canada. It could go. Yeah.
So let me just get this straight. So you got an electrical generating facility over in Athens, right across the river, right in our listenership area, right? And they're sending the power off elsewhere. They're burning a bunch of fossil fuels, making electricity, and sending it out. This sounds like madness. I think we have one of these electrical like power substation things down in Rhinebeck, down where the farm where I work, where we co-founded a school. And the idea that we're sending it to Canada or wherever, it just, to me, seems ludicrous. And What I just found out researching this a little today, and Beta, maybe you could talk about this, is that there's 1,500 municipalities in New York State that actually have this CCA that you speak of, this, what is it called?
Community Choice Aggregation. I know it's a terrible name.
Yeah, Community Choice Aggregation.
Right now there are no municipalities actually in New York. I think you might be thinking of a co-op, which is slightly different.
Okay.
Community Choice Aggregation, as of right now, is not allowed in New York State. Okay. But under this new REV process, they're changing a lot of the rules of the game. In addition to CCA, they're also, fingers crossed, going to be changing the rules on virtual net metering or remote net metering, which would basically allow a renter to buy into a community solar array nearby because they can't put solar on their roof because they're a renter, or maybe you have too many trees around you and so you really want to support solar in your community but you can't do it on your house for whatever reason. So another kind of exciting development that we're really getting behind is this idea of allowing shared solar, remote net metering. And if you go to the Renewable New York website, Renewable New York is a campaign supported by Catskill Mountain Keeper to basically raise awareness and provide information about this transition to a renewable energy future in New York State. And if you go to renewableny.org, you can go to the Take Action page, and there's links to more information about community choice aggregation, about shared solar. There's a petition you can sign to Governor Cuomo supporting shared solar. So there's a lot of ways that people can participate now in their communities to support this transition. And also, you know, again, make sure that the REV process does end up having the desired results for all of us.
Gotcha.
Another thing that we're asking people to do, and we're promoting in Ulster County, which I think is kind of a cool idea, is this 5-kilowatt solar pledge. And the idea behind that is for individuals, whether you're concerned about climate change, you think renewable energy is the way to go, to pledge to either install 5 kilowatts on your roof or support your local school going solar or your town hall or to start a solarize campaign. And we partnered actually with RUPCO, which is the Rural Ulster Preservation Company based in Kingston. And they're really advocating this and also doing a lot of great work on the energy efficiency side of things, because that's sort of the other side of the coin. It's fantastic to install solar on your roof, but if you're leaking energy and your house isn't properly insulated, that's kind of a waste. So, you know, really getting an energy audit, finding out, you know, how is your house using energy and how can it conserve more, and then how great would it be if you could also install solar on your roof. So we're working with RUPCO on that, and would love to help here in Hudson and in Columbia and Green really promote energy efficiency and solarize, whether it's, you know, at your town hall, at your school. The governor's office also has a great new program called K-Solar, which superintendents can sign up for, and then you can become eligible to have your school, have a whole energy audit and have solar, and then it becomes this way of educating the larger community about solar as well as the kids in the school and saving energy and, you know, greenhouse gas emissions, which we, you know, desperately need to lower. Every day the signs are more and more clear that if we don't take big steps now, we're really going to be paying the price later.
Yeah, nice weather out there too, by the way.
It's a little chilly.
A little crazy. Spoke to my folks in Boston this morning. They have 102 inches of snow on the ground.
I cannot even believe.
It's just madness.
It really
weather,
is.
Absolute weather madness. Well, this is really exciting. I just had another sort of different question, but also directly related to what you're doing. You've done a lot of work in Brooklyn and in the city, and you've just recently moved upstate, I think.
Yes, I'm originally from New York City, and and spent the past decade in Brooklyn, but then ended up moving to Binghamton. That was my first upstate place that I moved because I was working on the campaign to keep fracking out of New York State. Yep. And Binghamton is really sort of the place to do that because that's where they want to frack first, and it's right over the border from PA.
Which, by the way, we need to come back to that a little bit.
Sure. That's I'd be delighted.
That's sort of a happy conversation in a way.
It's very exciting. Way, right? Oh, of course. It was huge. I mean, to be honest, I was working on, you know, this ban fracking campaign for years, but I don't know if I was 100% convinced that we would ever really do it. I thought, you know, the best thing, we'd get a moratorium.
Right.
But when Governor Cuomo announced that they were actually going to ban fracking, it was the best news I ever heard.
That's a champagne moment.
It was amazing, really. I think it still feels a little surreal, but it was really
it
from all the great organizing
like
around the state.
Is possible, right?
So many, absolutely, and so many committed people, and you know, New Yorkers who took days off from work and you know volunteered, God knows how many hours, an infinite number of hours, to you know educate their neighbors and their families, and submit comments and testify at hearings. I mean, so much work went into this ban. And the fact that, you know, Governor Cuomo really responded to New Yorkers' call to protect our water and our air and all of that, I mean, he's really a hero for doing that. And we're just hoping that, you know, that kind of progressive forward thinking continues. I mean, there's a few things coming up. One, you know, that also relate to fracking. While we've banned it here, there are pipelines being built. There is a proposed LNG, liquefied natural gas facility, that is proposed for sort of off Jones Beach.
Right.
And Governor Cuomo and Governor Christie have
Port
the power.
Ambrose,
yes, exactly.
Right.
Have the power to veto that. And, you know, if that port goes through, it would facilitate the export of a massive amount of gas overseas. Saying that it's for import purposes, but we know that that's not really true.
So I guess the question about like working up here, it's amazing that little town of Ulster actually has so much hope like to actually be like a pilot project that you talked about, you know, because this is an issue that transcends, I think, the right, left, you know, Republican, Democrat. This is like, these are municipality issues. This is about who controls electricity, where it comes from, who generates it, what the price of it is, you know, all this stuff that we actually have the power to regulate. And so it's about community activism, which is what community radio is all about in a way, is bringing people locally together to figure out what the issues are. So have you found that it's actually looking pretty hopeful over there across the river? Rosendale's a great area, by the way. I just finally visited. It's so cool. There's so much exciting stuff happening on that side of the river. I just moved to Rhinebeck from Columbia County, and I just feel like if they can ban fracking, like, why can't we do this, right?
We can. We absolutely can. And I think that the fact that we were successful in banning fracking has given people a renewed sense of hope and optimism. And with, as you're saying, you know, local leaders in Rosendale and in Ulster County and really around the state, people are calling for a transition to renewable energy that, you know, as you mentioned, transcends party lines. This is not a Democratic issue, a Republican issue. This is an issue that affects everyone and is about true energy independence. And while the gas and oil industries been selling this line about, oh, natural gas is a bridge fuel and we can be energy independent, we know that the truth is if we create solar farms and wind turbines here and small hydro and, you know, use all of this great technology that already exists to create locally generated power that's community controlled, that is really the way forward for energy independence. And that appeals to people from, you know, both parties for sure, and across the board politically.
What would you say, Beto, would be, and for anyone just joining us, we're here live in the Spotty Dog with Beto Broad. I'm Sam Sebring. I'm here with on the Monday afternoon show with Kieran and Katie. And but Beto, like, just to be a little bit devil's advocate, like, how do you think the utilities are feeling about these ideas? And what would be our way to get over those hurdles?
It's a great question. I think the utilities know that a change is afoot and they have to move with the times.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that we are going to be transitioning to this distributed or decentralized energy system. And the utilities have an important role to play. They will continue to be the transmitters of energy, the distributors of energy, but we don't necessarily think they need to be the generators of energy. And that communities have, you know, who are locally based, really have a better way of planning and implementing these distributed energy technologies. But we need to work with the utilities to do that and to make sure that it's as efficient and effective as possible. So I think that, you know, there's room for everyone at the table.
Yeah.
But Citizens for Local Power feels pretty strongly that communities should ultimately be able to make their own energy planning and sourcing and decision making. And then that should happen at the local level.
Yeah, because every municipality has different issues that are specific to that area. So it would be just sensible for the municipalities to be able to state what their needs are. And it's also one of the things I find interesting about the CCA. It's not really saying we're suddenly not going to be paying utilities. It's not like we're saying wipe them out completely. It's sort of like you said, everyone, there's room for everyone at the table.
There absolutely is.
We do have to take a station ID break and do a quick phone number pledge drive pitch. And it is our pleasure to have you, Beta. Thank you so much for being with us. And we'll continue in a minute here, if that's okay.
Sure thing.
Beta Broad here, the Energy and Climate Program Manager for Catskill Mountain Keeper, transitioning New York to 100% renewable energy. Also, she's talking about her group, Citizens for Local Power, out of Rosendale. These are local energy issues that we're hammering here. It is community radio. We're doing our pledge drive. Please give us a call, 518-697-7400 or wgxc.org. Pledge, donate, do whatever you can. We will be right back. It's the Monday afternoon show. We are on live right now at Spotty Dog Books and Ale with Beta Broad. We are talking about Citizens for Local Power. Right? Did I get that right?
Citizens for Local Power, yep. And Catskill Mountain Keeper.
Catskill Mountain Keeper, and we're talking about how we're going to get New York State to take back the power that is to determine their local municipalities, where their electricity comes from, who generates it, how they generate it, etc., etc. What else should we discuss?
Well, we're sitting here in this bookstore, and they have a book on the shelf, Organic Farmers and Chefs of the Hudson Valley.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And forward by Mark Ruffalo, who was an amazing supporter of the campaign to ban fracking.
And supporter of WGXE, I might add.
Really?
Yes,
oh, we love
is.
Mark.
He did a PSA
for us.
That's right.
That's very cool.
He ended the PSA with, "Stop the fracking frackers, bro."
Oh, nice.
That was
Mark was also in a video series that I produced called Love New York, Don't Frack It Up.
Okay.
And we interview him at his home in Calicoon in front of his big solar array. And it's a great moment where he's talking about the potential for New York State to really be a renewable energy leader in the world. And just seeing this book sitting here, Farmers and Chefs of the Hudson Valley, made me think about the fact that we're in this moment right now. We're really trying to grow this movement for local energy and energy democracy. And it's quite similar to the local food movement, which, of course, now almost everyone has heard of or been to a farmer's market. People are members of CCAs. You go to all these wonderful restaurants in the Hudson Valley and beyond in upstate New York and in the city, everywhere, really. And you can see, oh, you know, this local milk or local whiskey or the Hudson. Isn't that right here? The Hudson Whiskey Company. And so there's really been a movement towards local food. And so now we're seeing a similar movement towards producing our energy locally. And so it's very exciting because I think there's a ton of potential to create that kind of localized, sustainable economy, whether it's food or energy, it's all connected. And
or radio.
Yeah, or radio. Exactly. WGXC is doing that very same thing by highlighting voices in the community. And, you know, it's great that so many people are supporting that. Community radio, community energy, community food. We're all about that.
It's all tied together, yeah.
It really is. And creating local jobs. Because if we're going to have these thriving communities that we all want to see, healthy, sustainable communities, we do need to invest in economic activity, cultural activity that's going to support local jobs. And, you know, as we know, upstate New York has really suffered in recent years, but I think we're starting to see a great resurgence, and it's very exciting to be a part of that, especially here in Hudson. I actually have a friend who I went to high school with who opened as a restaurant here, Daba,
I'm
on the main drag here.
Show.
Oh, really?
Dan.
Well, Dan Nielsen, yeah, yes, I went to high school
Daba
with
Dan.
Him. And
no way. I'm gonna tell him what I
he's
did.
A wonderful chef, and it's a beautiful restaurant. I know that they have a real commitment to locally sourced food as well.
Absolutely.
And we're broadcasting live from there this Thursday.
Oh, amazing. Very yeah. cool. I'll have to talk to Dan about maybe getting some solar panels on his roof there.
I think if he's like any other roof in Hudson, it's probably a flat roof.
Yeah. I mean, I could
He'd
see solar panels all yeah. along here. And actually, there's, you know, there's financing now that people really need to know about, third-party financing, where as the owner of the building, you don't need to put any money up front. So you bring in a third party, especially for these larger arrays, and the financing is there. So people just need to find out about it and get educated. And we have a lot of information on our website, renewableny.org, which, again, Renewable New York is a campaign started by Catskill Mountain Keeper. But really, we want to highlight local efforts, you know, community-driven campaigns that are enabling this transition to renewable energy and educating people. Are you, you know, as a citizen, as a consumer, as, you know, a teacher, whatever role you play in society, you can be a part of this transition. And not only will it help our planet, but it will also help your bottom line, because solar saves money.
It sure does. And it's also probably going to save the planet.
I think so.
We're kind of at a crucial stage right here with the natural resource issue. And this, what you just mentioned, brings us back to this question of change of consciousness, you know, because the funding is out there, like you said, the logistics are all out there. There's people installing solar panels all over. It's just a matter of sort of educating people or just shifting the consciousness towards a state where we're actually all just doing it. So the will is just there. It's like a non-issue. I mean, back in the 70s, 80s, my parents come from a pretty alternative family. And I remember growing up really being on the fringe, my parents were like these sort of, they weren't hippies, but they kind of were. And they were just sort of seen as like these super idealistic, like fringe people who are just totally pipe dreaming about solar panels and alternative energy and whatever. But now it's become like a real issue where it's sort of entered almost, I'd say definitely into the mainstream, where states like Massachusetts or California or wherever are subsidizing this stuff. The federal government subsidizing this stuff because we're at a crucial moment. What else do you see as like what we need to continue this consciousness shift? Like, what does it take for people to like finally take the next step?
Well, I think a big part of it is having the belief that change is possible, which you talked about a little bit ago, you know, with banning fracking. I think that does show that the power of people organizing and taking action has real results. And when it comes to this renewable energy movement, whatever you want to call it, Mark Ruffalo has called it the sunlight revolution. But whatever you want to call it, it's going to take everybody. And so just like you go to a farmer's market to support your local farmer, in the same way, finding out how your local town hall could install solar, could do an energy audit, right? But taking that extra next step is really key, and believing it's possible is the first, I think, the first step to making that happen. I mean, we really created the Renewable New York campaign as a way to make this accessible, because obviously people are busy, people are working. You don't necessarily have the time to go to a meeting every night, but maybe you do have the time to go to a solarized workshop, you know,
and then go to your town board meeting and tell them about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just getting a little bit more involved than maybe you already are.
Or just make a phone call. I mean, call Governor Cuomo's office and say, you know, thank you for banning fracking. I mean, really, thank you. And now please continue to support investment in renewable energy and supporting people to have, you know, the ability with these, you know, incentives, like keeping those going for, you know, for the foreseeable future. We really need to support people, you know, with having the money to do that. And some of those incentives, you know, are going away at the federal level. They're going away in 2016. And so we really need the continued support of the state in order to see this change become a reality. And also, of course, as I mentioned before, not only do we need to keep investing in renewable energy projects and infrastructure, but also say no to natural gas infrastructure expansion, whether it's, or, you know, a pipeline or this LNG facility. We really need to, as a society, say no, we don't need more fossil fuel infrastructure. We need renewable energy infrastructure. And natural gas is a bridge to nowhere. It's not a transition.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so across the river, we're facing the Pilgrim Pipeline, potential plans for that. There's already been, I don't even know how many municipalities have passed resolutions against the Pilgrim Pipeline, but we need more, every town, to pass a resolution.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up. That's another issue that Citizens for Local and Catskill Mountain Keepers certainly support, which is, or we're opposed to this Pilgrim Pipeline, which really would not serve New York residents. It would, you know, be potentially very dangerous to have this pipeline running along 87, and would just be transporting oil. And so, again, not serving local energy needs, not creating local energy jobs, but just contributing to the expansion of a fossil fuel infrastructure, which is just going to exacerbate climate change and pollution. And, you know, we don't want these things. We want solar panels and wind turbines and local generation of power.
Which also brings local jobs.
Which also, exactly.
Good, healthy jobs.
Yeah. Yes, and it's very exciting that we see the solar market really expanding, and that's another key component of Catskill Mountain Keepers' commitment with Renewable New York is partnering with SUNY schools. And right now we're working with SUNY Ulster and starting to work more with SUNY Sullivan. And the idea of creating partnerships with community colleges and SUNY schools so that there is a real pipeline, so to speak, from getting the training to do, say, solar installations or energy efficiency, and then know that there's a company that you can apprentice with and you can get that necessary on-the-ground training. And that, you know, then if you have a solarized campaign in your community where more and more people are getting solar installations, that's driving the market and driving more business to local solar installers. So it's this wonderful circle of activity that however you can kind of plug in and get involved, you know, is wonderful. And again, you can find out more information at renewableny.org about that. But with CCA, the Community Choice Aggregation, that is, you know, a really wonderful way to create local jobs and focus our economic development and planning locally. So I would also encourage people to check out Citizens for Local Power's website and learn more. You can watch videos from some forums that we've done with Paul Fenn, who is sort of the original creator of community choice aggregation. And while he lives now out in California, he's counseling us on how we're going to create this pilot project here that hopefully can become a real model for New York State.
Sweet. Yeah. Wow.
It's really amazing.
A lot of information. Yeah,
no, it's good. We're talking about taking the power back, taking our local airways back, taking our electrical grid back, just taking everything back. We are here. We have to break again. I'm sorry for another pledge information.
You could also call 697-7400 to donate by phone or online, wgxc.org/donate. I don't know. I wanted to just mention a couple of things that are on one of the websites that Betta has mentioned, and she's going to let you guys know more sites to connect and get information. But one of the sites says this, that every New Yorker should have access to the benefits of clean energy. Access to weatherization and energy-saving lights and appliance, as well as pathways to clean energy ownership, must be open to all New Yorkers. Access should not be based on home ownership, credit scores, wealth, income, tax credits, or anything that disproportionately excludes low-income people, people of color, women, and other oppressed groups. So that touches upon one of the goals that we're all working towards here, which is sort of equality on energy for everybody.
Definitely. The website, actually, that you can find more information about that, the talking points that Sam was just reading from, is Alliance for a Green Economy. And that stands for AGREE for short, but it's AllianceForAGreenEconomy.org. And they're a wonderful group based out of Syracuse that does a lot to raise awareness about the shift from not only fossil fuels, but nuclear power to renewable energy, and with a strong emphasis on social justice. So as you were saying, Sam, we really need to make this renewable energy future accessible for everyone. And it's great to see the work that AGREE is doing, and we're very much in support of that at Catskill Mountain Keeper and also Citizens for Local Power.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's about getting off the hypodermic needle of fossil fuels, I would have to say.
Break the addiction.
It really is. And it has social justice does play in also with the environmental degradation of poor communities, of like toxic waste going into poor communities down in the city. Or as far as the nuclear industry is concerned, Yucca Mountain, for example, with the Native American tribal sacred lands being contaminated with depleted uranium. You know, there's these plans to store radioactive waste for thousands of years that, you know, all these plans are just not well thought out.
That's the understatement of the year. But yes, I couldn't agree more. And seeing groups that are, you know, on the ground in marginalized communities and working proactively is so inspiring to me. As someone who travels around the state advocating for renewable energy and against fossil fuels, I've had the privilege to connect to some really incredible people, including a group called Push Buffalo. And they're working in some of the poorest neighborhoods in Buffalo. Buffalo is also one of the poorest cities in the state, and I think in the top 10 of the United States even. And they're working in these communities, and they're doing energy retrofits, installing solar, doing job training of local people so that folks, you know, have an opportunity to weatherize buildings in their own communities. And especially, you can imagine in Buffalo, which is freezing, it's even colder than here. I mean, you really need to have these old houses weatherized because it's heartbreaking that poor people are freezing in the winter when we have, you know, so much wealth as a society. And yet again, going back to the whole gap between rich and poor, and, you know, seeing groups like Push that are on the ground creating jobs, creating green, you know, economies and communities is an amazing thing, and something that we can replicate everywhere around the state, in particular, you know, with the support of Governor Cuomo and our elected officials. So they need to hear that in many ways they're doing the right thing by investing in solar and investing in these solarized campaigns. And this, you know, REV proceeding that we've been talking about has a lot of potential to transition New York to the kind of energy future that we all want to see, that supports, you know, healthy communities and good green jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One quick pitch. I just want to share one thing that I'm going to be doing this coming year, developing an educational farm down in Rhinebeck, New York.
Awesome.
And we are going to be looking at using horsepower for the farm. Because it's a farm that was from the 1700s where they always used horses to operate the machinery. And this might seem a little way out of left field, but it comes back to a major issue that I have when approaching this topic, and that is the issue of energy consumption and just the general, you know, a common criticism of the alternative energy movement is that no matter what you do, no matter how many solar panels, no matter how many windmills, you will never ever satisfy the demand for all the energy we need as a society, which brings us to the core issue, which is that of consumption, which is, do we really need all that energy? You know, there's so much waste, there's so much unnecessary lighting, there's so much like stuff just being completely wasted. And I'm just wondering how, we haven't really talked about it, if you want to just mention a few words, and how we do, again, this consciousness shift, this education, this like this next generation has to learn that, you know, we don't need all this stuff to, like,
or we can take this society, stuff, and
how do we just pare it down a little bit, mm-hmm, so that actually solar and wind could do it?
Yeah, well, and you know, you're touching on another technology that comes to mind, which is anaerobic digesters. You know, which is an amazing way of taking waste and garbage and horse manure or, you know, cow or whatever, and turning it into energy. I mean, it's incredible. So you're, you know, kind of killing two birds with one stone, because you're reducing waste, you're reusing, and then you're actually generating energy. So it's quite extraordinary, the technologies that already exist, and it's a matter of, I think, spreading the word and connecting people. So if a farmer is interested in, you know, an anaerobic digester at his farm or her farm, they can access the funding to, you know, bring that, because a lot of farmers, as we know in New York City, are struggling to stay afloat. And so how do we support our local farmers by buying their produce and creating that access, but then also making sure that farmers know about the financing opportunities and the state and also federal support for implementing these technologies that can save them money, generate energy, and then ultimately serve all of us, because it reduces the amount of methane and greenhouse gas emissions that are causing climate change.
That's a really good point too, Beto. Like, just the fact that resources are out there, and a lot of times people don't know. They don't even know what's out there. And getting back to one of those resources right here being community radio, and letting people know, yep, that all this stuff is going on.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Right. How could, if people don't know that what an anaerobic digester is, they've never heard of it before, you know, this is like planting that seed. And, you know, you all are doing an incredible service, you know, with this radio show, by raising awareness about these different issues and turning people on. And I think that there's a ton of potential to really transform New York State. And so thank you so much for supporting this transformation. And, you know, ultimately we're all on the same side, and we're all, you know, we all want to live in a healthy, sustainable community.
Yeah. And it's, and again, it's not really a political issue. It's just a human rights, human health, common, every single person on the planet issue. You know, it's just not that difficult. So it shouldn't be anyway.
Well, but I just want to say, if people, you know, do want more information, if they want to learn more about Solarize, you know, bringing this solar campaign to their community, which I talked a little bit about earlier, but really is a way of harnessing group purchasing power so that communities can promote one of these campaigns and then do a big bulk buy with solar, so it's more affordable for everyone. So if you're interested in starting a Solarize campaign in your community, or if you're interested in finding out information about how your business could potentially install solar, or your school, you could sign up for this K-Solar program. Or if you have questions about what we're doing in Ulster County with community choice aggregation, there's folks who are interested in Sullivan County. Potentially there's people out there here in Green and Columbia that would be interested in community choice aggregation. Please feel free to contact me. I want to be a resource for you. My email is Betta, BETTA at CatskillMountainKeeper.org. I know that's a little bit of a mouthful, but it's just Betta, which is my nickname. Real name is Elizabeth Broad, but my friends call me Betta. So please, nice. Yeah, shoot me an email, BETTA at CatskillMountainKeeper.org. And I would be delighted to speak with you and try to help you plug in to this movement for renewable energy. And also you can find information, again, at RenewableNY.org, as well as Citizens for Local Power.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here today, Betta.
Thank you. And thank you guys for what you're doing to help spread the word and educate people. This is wonderful. And you know, just supporting local radio, WGXC in the house. Oh,
here we are. You said it. You heard it from Betta Broad herself, WGXC. And you can call us, too, 518-697-7400. This has been a great pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And
it's been delightful. Thank you.
And this is about community transformation in many, many levels. And it all comes down to how we turn on our lights and start our cars and whatever, you know. And if we can start thinking of the alternatives, have lower impacts, have environmental sustainability in the ways we do that, this is the kind of work we need to do. So don't frack it up.
I should also give a plug for my little video series, Love New York, Don't Frack It Up.
That's
if
right.
You Google it, the YouTube will come up, or the website is lovenydontfrack.org. And the idea behind that was to create a fun, informative series that kind of combined a travel show with an environmental documentary, really highlighting the best of what New York has to offer. So we have an episode on Calicoon, which is in Sullivan County. We have an episode on Binghamton. We have one in New York City. And then our most recent episode is in the Rockaways and is really focusing on a gas pipeline and also this LNG port, and how instead of going further down the road of fossil fuel expansion, we can instead choose renewable energy. So I encourage you to check it out. And really, it's meant to be a fun and entertaining way of learning about how great New York is and how we don't want to frack it up with fracking or fracking-related infrastructure, more fossil fuel infrastructure, and that there are a lot of other ways that we can create jobs and develop our local economies that are positive and sustainable. So please check it out. Love NY. Don't frack it up.
There we go. All right, let's go to a couple of promos. Katie, thank you so much. And Betta, thank you again.
Thank you so much. Kieran, Sam, you guys rock.
All right, we'll be right back. Pledge Drive Week. Give us a call, 518-697-7400. We'll be right back.